The Crossman Conversation brought to you today by Community Legal Services, Valencia College, Maynard Cooper, Frontier Partners, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
All right, before we get started, Mike, just a quick story for
you. I'm ready
for
it.
Listen to me. Now, listen, I like to talk about tough subjects, hard subjects. I like to push into that. That's kind of my thing, right? It's kind of my bag. That said, if you said, hey, John, why don't we not do that today? Let's just talk about stuff that's really fun. You enjoy it. And if you said, what would that be? Okay. Let's think about three things I would want to talk about.
Okay.
Number one is just faith. Just talk about faith. Just talking about faith. And that's a big deal to me. Number two, we'd talk about food. I'm not talking like nothing. I'm not like really good, deep food.
Delicious
food. I would talk about food. And then I would talk about football. Okay, I'm going to have to talk about football. And don't start in with all that Gator stuff. I'm a Seminole. I wouldn't want to talk about Florida State football.
Gators.
Ruin the show, Mike. Edit that out. But Mike, would you believe today our guest knows a lot about faith, knows a lot about food.
Especially barbecue.
And knows a little thing about football. We have John Rivers today. John Rivers is our guest.
Goodness.
So John, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, John.
Such a big deal. So John, you are founder and CEO of the Four Rivers Restaurant Group and Four Rivers Farm. Both those outstanding organizations. Is that correct?
I am. Thank you, John.
Well, listen, I have two questions I want to ask you. And I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, okay? But I want you to handle both these, okay? These are two John Crossman originals. So the first thing I want to ask you about is a game I like to play, and it's called Three Tents, okay? Mm-hmm. So I want you to visualize, we're going to throw a party at your house. And in the backyard, we're going to put up three tents, okay? And in each tent, we're going to have a different style of food. Mm. And so you get to pick, but each tent has a different style of food. So, John Rivers, if you had to put three tents in your backyard, three different styles of food at this party at your house, what would be the three styles of food?
Mm.
Would you like me to go first, make it easy on you?
Okay, John.
All right, so my first tent would be Four Rivers. Okay. My second one would be Asian with a focus on sushi.
Okay.
Okay. And my third one, I think, just might be Italian. I think I might go Italian on the third one. So, John Rivers, what would be your three?
Very nice. Well, actually, my wife, we go to parties all the time, and they think that because we're coming there, they have barbecue. They have Four Rivers
everywhere. They don't. No, they don't.
All the time. And Monica, my wife is a vegan. So, it makes life, very, very difficult.
Right.
I call it that we bring culinary balance, to the universe.
Right.
So, we really can't have barbecue because we have that all the time. But, I love it, but she'd probably shoot me if it was in the backyard. So I would say Mediterranean.
Ooh, nice.
That's one of my very favorite, Lebanese in particular. Just mm-hmm. absolutely love that. I'd probably go Latin, South American. I really love Mexican flair. And three, it'd be a toss-up between Southern and Italian. I can go either one of those, but if it's a nighttime party, I'd probably go Italian.
Maybe a Southern Italian. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right, so now let's go a little bit further. It's going to get a little harder. You ready for take the stakes up a notch?
We're going to talk recipes?
All right. No. Okay. So now the second question I have for you, we're going to go into death row meal. Okay, death row meal. You ready? So this is the meal, like you and me are in death row together. And so mm-hmm. for me, I would have to split between an appetizer of Vietnamese summer rolls or just a great shrimp cocktail. That would be my appetizer. And then my main course would have to be Southern fried chicken with collard greens and biscuits and gravy as a side with a really solid sweet tea. And I would probably go with ice cream on top of some freshly baked chocolate chip cookies for dessert.
Okay.
So that's mine. So John Rivers, you can combine genres. Right? You can have some. So what
it
would
is, John, it's a little concerning that you have this very planned out.
No, I do. I do.
Meal.
I'm ready. I'm ready for death row.
Let's see. I would say, actually Thanksgiving meal is one of my just the entire plate. I love the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the greens and the turkey itself. It has to be a smoked turkey in particular, but that's one of my favorite meals all year. And I milk that sucker. when we make it, I will have it for a week plus afterward. It's funny. I love desserts.
Yeah.
It'd be a toss up because I love cake quite a bit. But you know, my go-to every night is actually a cookie, you know,
yeah, I get,
a
I'm
fresh baked
that.
Chocolate chip cookie. I'm absolutely happy. And you put a little ice cream on that, then, then I'll be ready for death row, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always joke because, I feel like what you cook and prepare is like just DNA connected with who I am as a person. Mm. What's the cheese and burnt biscuit sandwich, or not a burnt ends cheese sandwich.
Oh, burnt ends cheese melt. Yeah.
Yes. That's the greatest sandwich that's ever
you
been
like
made.
You like that? Oh, thank
do
you.
Do I like it? I love it. I'm going to go have it right now. And then you guys did you catered my daughter's graduation party, and we had a coconut cake for you guys. That was pretty, oh my gosh, just so good.
Oh, thank you. That's my mom's favorite.
Yeah, well, God bless your mom. She is good. Yeah. we devoured it.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
That's a fun stuff. So, John, what I really want to get into talking to you today about is community. You know, I was with a friend of mine in Dallas named Richie Butler, and Richie is been a successful business guy, pastor, and after the Dallas police officer shootings, happens to be a black gentleman, really worked into uniting projects or trying to get people together. And so he calls it Project Unity. And one of the things he does is over food, getting people there to dine and talk about hard things, because he talks about how food unites us as a community, right? And when I think about you and so much of what you've done is, you know, obviously you've had great food and great restaurants. You've also really seemed to have been really involved in uniting community. You seem to have done that. So do you mind just talking about that, like food and community, and how do you do that and bring all that kind of stuff together?
That's interesting. That's great that you brought food up first, because food is a uniter.
Right, for sure.
Because we all have it.
Yeah.
And you know, more than that, and it reminds us of our youth. And it's a reflection of how we grew up, and, you know, barbecue in particular. I think so many people like that because it's, you know, it reminds us of Sunday dinners, you know, dad cooking something out back, or you go to the church afterward. And that's where we have the picnic tables. So that's where we have the line. It creates that community feel. And the community is all about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the, you know, when you take a look, be it faith or be it business or be it just social and community responsibility, the underlying message of all those that unifies them is relational.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a business without having a relationship with your customer. And your customer, in our case, is the community itself. So if you don't take care, and just think about any relationship that you're in, the more you pour into that relationship, the more you get out of it.
Right.
And that's the basis of business itself. You know, if we want the community to come out and support us, we've got to be sincere in our care for the community. Which means that we go out and we find ways to help. We find ways to pour in. It doesn't have to be big or audacious, but it can be little things. And even people when they come in, I tell every one of our team members, every single person that walks in that front door, you have the unique opportunity to make a difference in their life today.
Mm.
Just by the way that you treat them, the way that you look at them, the way that you speak to them, tell them that they look nice today, ask them how their day is, and
sure.
You sincerely care. All of that makes has a huge ramifications, not just on lives, but on business itself.
You know, John, you may recall that I came and saw you when I was going through a rough period of my life. And one of the hardest things was I had a really deeply broken relationship. And then Mike, you know, John started quoting scripture to me. And what are you going to do?
That makes a difference.
You know, I know, what are you going to do with that guy? And so what you talked to me about was not putting logs on the fire. You said it more eloquently than I'm going to fumble through it, but you really gave me a lot to reflect on. And it's so funny because I mean, like 3 days ago, a friend of mine quoted the scripture that you quoted to me in the same way. And it's really helped me to reflect on that. And so that's the other side of it, right? You're saying, hey, telling your staff to have a welcome and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And then your coaching to me privately was also, hey, don't put gas on the fire too. Don't make it worse, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really reflected on that. And so that is a cool way of our impact in the community. That's pretty neat.
Yes. It's one of my favorite analogies. I have two of my best ones, and that's, you know, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, go, please go.
The fire is what lies in between two people. And typically, you know, let's just say it's a conflict. Okay. You've got an issue. The greater the fire, the greater the conflict. And when the fire flames higher, you end up separating and standing farther apart because the heat is so high.
Mm-hmm.
And the farther apart you are with the person who you're in conflict with, the less likely you're going to actually come to resolution. So recognize that every action you take, every word that you use, is either going to add a log to the fire or take something off. So when somebody says something to you, no matter what it is, especially in a conflict situation, give them grace, show them love, show them some understanding. And each time you do that, you begin to douse the fire.
Right.
And it begins to go down and you draw closer. And when you draw closer in a relationship, resolution typically will follow.
That's awesome. That's great advice. And so you don't have to throw more logs on the fire and you don't have to stick your hand in the fire, but maybe just sometimes it's just giving it time, right?
Yes.
Sometimes time can just cool things down a little bit.
Yes,
but reflecting on what am I doing to like see the fire kind of go down and not burn back up.
I read something interesting this morning, John. It's 90% of our success has to do with relationships with other people and how we respond to those.
Well, one of my great things in life is I'm in a relationship with John Rivers. So I'm really thankful for that. That's helped me out tremendously. Listen, John, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back. And I want to talk more about Four Roots and what you're doing in the community with that.
Sure.
So we'll take a break and come back. This is John Crossman with Crossman Harbor Station. Our guest, John Rivers.
Community Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization providing no-cost legal help to the underserved. They call it Legal Aid for All. Their attorneys assist with legal issues related to family law, housing, domestic violence, veterans benefits, and much more. Community Legal Services is a community-supported program. To learn more and help support the mission, visit clsmf.org. That's clsmf.org. Community Legal Services, Legal Aid for All.
One of our many sponsors happens to be Valencia College and the Valencia College Foundation, and I'm so proud to have them on the team because of all the universities and colleges I've worked with. I don't know that I've seen one of them with a better secret sauce for helping students excel in life than Valencia College right here in Central Florida. Crossman Career Builders actually has an endowed scholarship. That's how much I put my money in with those guys, and so we're just so proud to have them as part of the Crossman conversation. Huge thanks to Valencia College.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper & Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Suicide is something that affects all of us, and we can play a part in saving lives. Make a difference in your community by walking out of the darkness with us on Saturday, February 4th in Baldwin Park in Orlando. Help spread awareness and understanding, send the message that help is available, and raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Find the Orlando Walk at afsp.org/Orlando.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back. And John, I want to talk now about Four Roots and the work you're doing in the community. Amazing stuff. So can you just sort of walk us through what's going on with that?
No, absolutely, John. And thanks for bringing that up. And it is community. You know, and we're so blessed with the business that we have and the blessings that have come from that. There's a greater purpose in life than just profits or fame or cookbooks or any of that. And about 2015, Monica and I, we really prayed about it. And we said, you know what? Let's take all of our energy. Let's take all of our resources and blessings. And let's make a difference in our own community. Because we were traveling all over the country, all over the world, doing mission trips and everything else. And so we looked at our community. And we said, all right, God, just lead us to the right place. And where he led us to was to the public school system And when I was walking around with Barbara Jenkins, who was the superintendent at the time, you know, I said, where do you need help? Of course, she says everywhere.
Right.
And she brought me into the cafeteria. And of no surprise, it resonated with me. But what touched my heart is when I looked at the kids and the beautiful, beautiful children, and I saw what was on their plate, and I saw what was not on their plate in particular. They only get $1.78 for 2.5 meals a day to feed these kids.
Wow.
So it's not all the time healthy as it could be. But the thing that got me, she says, John, she said, you know, even though it doesn't look great, a lot of these kids, this is all they have to eat. And I said, what do you mean? She says, and this is back in 2015. She says, one out of six students, which sadly today is one out of five students here in our own backyard, live in food insecurity. And I said, what does that mean, Barbara? She says, a lot of these students, the only food that they eat all day are these 2.5 meals. And I'm trying to compute it. I said, well, what about when they go home for dinner? She says, there's not always food.
Right.
And then I said, wait a minute, what about the weekends?
Right.
She says, there's not always food. Now, from 2015 to today, okay, we've interviewed so many students that talk to them and parents. And one of the heartbreaking one I found is, you know, this beautiful little boy. What'd you do for dinner last night? It's kind of embarrassed. She says, well, I had ice. Jeez. And I said, what ice? And I talked to the mom. And she says, well, give him something to chew so he doesn't feel like he's so hungry. And I told Monica, I said, you know, this is where we're going to dig in. Because I had a period in my life, actually in college, where I lived in food insecurity. And I know how tough that is. Yeah. I can't imagine it in the elementary and high school levels. You know, if these kids are hungry, how are they going to be thinking about studies and paying attention? And the challenge with food and hunger, and actually it was Dave Krepko, you know, previous CEO of Fresh Harvest. He told me something a long time ago. He says, John, he says, you can't food bank your way out of hunger. And I said, what does that mean, Dave? He said, we are handing out more food today than we ever have in our history as a food bank, yet missed meals and hunger is at a high, higher than it's ever been in history. Mm-hmm. It's not the solution. It's an absolutely essential partner and key to the community and filling that need, but it's not going to turn the curve. It's not going to turn the direction. So that's where we said we're going to dig in. The challenge is if you tackle food and hunger in our community, it's not a one bullet solution. There are multiple, multiple levels, and access alone is not going to solve it. It's access plus education plus inspiration for motivation. You know, I talk to these kids, you know, we talked to them today, and it's sad. There's a lot of kids in our own community who don't know that a tomato comes from the ground. And I'm being very, very literal.
Right.
And so as we began to identify, I always say, what's our floor? Okay. What's our foundation from? Let's get down to the very bottom, because you got to have all of these lofty goals. Okay.
Right.
But unless you address the foundation, you know, you're not going to build anything. So we kept going down and going down. And that's where we came to. And here's the really neat revelation that came to mind. As God put us in this direction of teaching kids and teaching the community where food comes from and the importance of it, there's a relationship that's behind that God gave us this beautiful planet and this beautiful land and this beautiful ground. And it says in Genesis so clearly, I gave you every fruit and every tree and every seed to feed you forever. There's everything we need is there. And it goes back to that relationship that we were talking about earlier and the importance of maintaining that balance of that relationship. We've adopted the word harmony really as our guiding post in this of, can we reestablish harmony with nature and harmony in essence with God? And when we do that, can we establish harmony in our body? And you know, we take a look at some of the epidemic problems that we're having today. You know, this is the first generation in human recorded history that our children have a shorter life expectancy than the generation before.
Can I jump in on that, John? Is that okay?
Oh, sure.
So love all of that. And just to sort of push your point even further with how important what you're doing is, you know, Black Lives Matters, you know, as a concept, you know, gets controversial and people have all kinds of feelings about that. When I get in that conversation, sometimes I'll look at people and I'll say, gosh, Black lives absolutely do matter and have not mattered and they need to matter. We need more attention than that. And then I always say, if a Black man in our community dies prematurely, what killed him? And the answer is diabetes, heart disease, obesity. Like, And they're still correlated to racism in different ways, but it's not the answer people usually think. And for example, diabetes in America, it's like 6% of the population. It's 12% of the black population. Eatonville, which is right by our studio, it's 25%, mm-hmm. 1 in 4. And so we can relate those back to all those sort of systemic issues. But what you're doing when you're teaching a child just about the floor how to healthy eat, it's not just, it's, of course, it's immediate as far as their studying and their homework, but it's also their whole life. And then yes. It's generational.
Yes.
It's a big deal.
And you think about the three diseases, as you just mentioned.
Right.
All of those can be approached and healed with food and diet.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And you can move out of those things.
Yes, yeah. there's no surprise that there's an inconsistency in disease rates and chronic rates between right. races. You look at, specifically, you mentioned Eatonville. You know, do they have access to healthy food?
Mm-hmm.
And do they have awareness and knowledge of why it's important? Let alone, you know, I'll tell you a true story. You know, we send tons of produce now. Home with kids mm-hmm. every week. And there's one little girl and teacher came back and we sent, I think, broccoli or something like that, or maybe lettuce even. And the teacher asked, well, how'd you like the produce? Oh, my mom threw it away. So she sent some more home. She asked her the next day, how'd you like the broccoli or the lettuce? My mom threw it away. So the parent teacher conference was the next week. And the teacher was all nervous about it. And the mom came in and said, hey, we sent some lettuce and we sent some broccoli home. And, you know, your daughter says you threw it away. Why'd you do that? She says, my daughter told us that came from the ground. She said, I don't want to put anything that came out of dirt in our mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
It's our fault.
Right.
Okay. For those who are in an influential leadership position, you can't blame the society. Okay? If no one has ever showed them the love and take the care of teaching them, you know, even the very basics like that, you know, who do you blame for that?
Yeah.
You know, it's us. We've got that responsibility. So that's one of the main areas of the farm, is to build something, a compound, a campus is what we're calling it. We've been blessed with 40 acres just around the corner on John Young Parkway. And our friends at Dr. Phillips gave us that. And, you know, we're building a farm campus, and we call it a campus because it's not a high production yield farm. It's to teach kids and families as much as students and about where food comes from, about growing techniques, to teach farmers about the importance of regenerative, sustainable farming practices so we can maintain and protect our soil and our waterways, to teach doctors and physicians why the importance of using diet and food as part of their medicine practice. And
right.
I mean, I can go on and on, but it's all related around food and health and ultimately with harmony.
And it's funny, John, it also, of course, like to mental health, right? And because here's the thing. You know, I was talking about, you know, my favorite sandwich in the world, which you guys make at the Four Rivers Smokehouse there in Fairbanks. I have that once in a while, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of like the fatted calf,
yes.
right? Like, you know, but if I was having that every day, you'd be like, hey, Crossman, dump that down, right? I most days eat a fair amount of broccoli and carrots raw. I mean, I eat them raw and I feel fantastic. And then yes. I have that. But, you know, for somebody that, like, grows up culture, that's what my grandma made me. And then we're going to tell them grandma was wrong. That's
right.
really tough stuff.
Right.
Now, listen, we're going to run out of time in a second. So I have two things I want to ask you, and you got to give me short answers, okay? You ready? This is, like, real quick. First off, somebody is hearing this podcast, radio show, and they're based in Dallas, New York, L.A., and they're like, oh, my gosh, we have those same problems in our community. Can I call John Rivers and ask for some advice? Can people call you from other communities and just ask for advice on what you're doing, maybe how they can do other places? Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, probably go to the website. It's the best
one. Website?
Yeah,
okay.
www.4rootsfarm.org.
Gotcha.
And that's a starting point.
Okay, cool.
And we have so many resources, from farmers to teachers to, I got a chief medical officer now that's on staff.
That's
so
awesome.
Lots of people to talk to.
So that was my first one. Then my second one is, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, man, John, I'm ready to get in the game. I'm tired of being on the sidelines. These things are so important. I want to help. I want to write a check, or I want to volunteer. How do they do that for Four Roots?
Absolutely. We are building. It's a $60 million campus, so funding is vital for us. But there's so many opportunities to get involved. We run 3 farmers markets that people can come and they can work at those. We work with over 51 farmers around the entire state, and 2 of these farms local. We send teams out every Tuesday to their farms to help them harvest and help them clean up.
So somebody could come just help work on the farm.
Oh, yeah. We have feeding programs. Cool. We've handed out over 2 million meals now, John, since 2020 when we started the whole thing. We have volunteers to come in to help us sort the produce. And then we have volunteers that go to help us go out into the field. And it's literally every week we have 1 to 2 feeding programs that we do.
You know, and I would tell you that every doctor, psychologist in America would tell you that going out in that field is good for our mental health. Being around all the fruits and vegetables and picking them and then delivering and giving them away.
Oh, yeah.
What a powerful thing.
You want to watch something neat? Bring some children out there.
Yeah.
They've never been to the farm, never seen that it comes out of the ground. Watch them light up. That's a beautiful thing.
Gotcha. Well, John Rivers, you're a blessing to me personally, and you're a blessing to the community. So thank you for all you're doing. And Mike, do you know, there's only a handful of people that are in the FSU College of Business Hall of Fame that live in Orlando. I think there's 3, and 2 of them in this room. And it's not you, Mike.
Hats off to John, and especially my only regret for the day is that I did not ask you to bring me some of that coconut
cupcakes. My gosh.
Oh, my word. That just destroys me.
The best. The best. It's the best. Well, John, thanks so much for being here, and I hope all of our listeners will do all they can to support you, both your business and 4 Roots. So thanks for being here, Mark.
My pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
So this is John Crossman, the Crossman Conversation. Remember, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.